Gonna need that.
If you turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6, that's where we'll be at this morning. Daniel chapter 6. Last week we talked about fathers. Week before that we were talking through a series called Out Planting, where we talked about the seeds that God has given us, that God uses to further his gospel. Our new series is going to be called Rooted. Figured it was kind of the next step, the next phase. First you're planted and then you have to grow some roots. You have to grow deep in order to get the nutrients. Many different positions, many different jobs require different types of tools for you to have in your toolbox. A pipe wrench. A plumber wouldn't do very much sometimes without a pipe wrench. A lot of tools have multiple uses. They don't always get used for what they're intended. Sometimes a pipe wrench gets used as a hammer because it's the closest thing to beat on something with. Jack's shaking his head. Apparently he's been there before. But a pipe wrench, a plumber would have problems if he didn't have a pipe wrench in order to loosen or tighten things. A mechanic needs wrenches. Sometimes they're socket wrenches or wrenches in order to work on vehicles. Screwdrivers are necessary. What about a baker? Bakers have tools as well, and they use a mixer, a rolling pin, measuring cup, baking pans. All of these things are tools that are necessary in order for them to bake. If they didn't have some of these things, the recipe wouldn't turn out very well. Stacy and I have been watching a baking show last couple of days, and on it, what's it called? It's called Nailed It. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's called Nailed It, where they try to replicate some baking masterpiece that somebody did. And so they have this magnificent cake. One of them this week was a shark. And so it was a shark coming out of water and had all these details and teeth and all this stuff. And what would happen if they didn't have any of these tools? If they didn't have the rolling pin to roll out things? If they didn't have the mixer? Yeah, you could mix by hand, but without a measuring cup, when you're talking baking, it's pretty scientific. You got to get the right amounts in there or things just don't work. One of the guys decided, well, I'm just not even going to use a recipe. They give you the recipe on an iPad there and you can just scroll through and see how to make the things. But instead, he just decided, I'm going to do whatever I want. And so he just made his own thing. And they're like, yeah, this is cake, but it's not very good. And so you need to use the tools in order to make things the best that they can be. Not only that, but gardeners have tools as well, a hoe to till the soil, and sometimes you need a shovel to dig so you can plant things. Sometimes you need a wheelbarrow or a garden hose. There are tools that are important. Could you do it without the tools? Yeah. But would it be good? It'd be okay, but it wouldn't be the greatest it could be. Those of you that have ever had to change a tire, would you rather change a tire in a fully stocked automotive shop, or would you rather change a tire on the side of the road? Well, I'd rather change a tire in a full garage because you have every tool there. You've got the lift that they can just like, oh, put the vehicle up, take the tire off, change it, put it back on. No big deal, right? But if you're on the side of the road, what do you have? You have the bare essentials. You have the bare essentials, and sure, you can get it done. You can take out that little contraption that's supposed to lift up your vehicle, and usually it does, but it takes a lot of work to get it up. And then you take out the little device that's supposed to take off the nuts off your wheel, and that's hard because it's not really the best possible tool you can use. But you manage, right? You get the tire changed, you get the other one back on, and you go. This series, Rooted, we all have tools that we use in our lives. Things like prayer. Things like fasting. Things like simplicity. Things like solitude. And we kind of use them sporadically, but maybe we don't use them to the best of their ability or their uses. And so we're going to be talking about spiritual practices that help us to not just get by, kind of like just changing a tire on the side of the road, not just get by, but flourish and be able to do things really well. We had talked about this verse a couple weeks ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about that Apollos, he planted and Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And so we're talking about those seeds that are planted, the plants that are coming up. How is there anything we can do? Is there any power we have to help with the growth? Or is it just God doing the growth? Are there things that can put us in a place where we can grow? Colossians chapter 2 says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Be rooted and built up in him. Yes, you were planted. The seeds were there as you received Christ Jesus. So now you have to walk in him. Being rooted and built up in him. The roots need to grow as the plant is also growing. If you don't have roots that are growing, what's going to happen? The plant's going to grow up and it's going to fall over, right? Because it has no good foundation. And so being rooted and built up in him, things are going both ways. They're going down, they're building roots, they're going into the soil, and then being built up and growing and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is our theme verse for the next several weeks here, being rooted and built up in Christ. So I asked you the question, is there anything we can do? Is there anything we can do to help our growth? The answer is yes. I think we can develop practices in our lives. Prayer, studying God's word. Fasting, solitude, simplicity, and these put us in a place where we're willing to allow God to work, where we're willing to allow God to grow us, to change us. 1 John chapter 2 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. John puts things pretty bluntly sometimes. He says, whoever says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar. He's not one who's actually following him. The truth is not in him. But he says, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We went through the I Am series, and we talked about I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches, and John writes, whoever says he abides isn't just going to say, well, I abide in Jesus, but he's going to actually have actions that are going to do more. They're going to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. What are some of the things that Jesus did? Jesus would go up on a mountainside and pray. Jesus would study God's word, we know that even in his temptations, he quoted scripture. It was important to him that he knew God's word. It was hidden deep in his heart. There's one author that, using a seed analogy, he says this: the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices, are God's way of getting us into the ground. They put us where he can work within us and transform us. By themselves, the spiritual disciplines can do nothing. They can only get us to a place where something can be done. However, it's very different when we start talking about spiritual disciplines or practices we can put in our lives, the difference they have from the world's priorities. All of us are here this morning in church. What would the world say? Sunday's not a time for church. Why would you do that? Why don't we just sleep in? It's what the world would say. That's their priorities. Maybe a priority listening to Christian music. The world says just listen to whatever you enjoy. Christian culture says we need to be in prayer and relying on God. What's the opposite of that? Paul writes, be anxious about nothing, but by prayer and petition, bring your requests and let them be made known to God. What is the opposite of prayer? The opposite of prayer is worrying or being anxious about things. Bible is supposed to be our authority, and so reading the Bible should be part of a Christian's discipline. But what does the world say? It says, read the latest magazine. Read the latest article. Look on Facebook. Enter your search in Google. That's what the world says, but the Bible is to have the answers we need in life. Fasting. What about this fasting thing? Why would I give up food, or why would I give up something else? Because the world says you can eat whatever, whenever you want. Not only that, I've watched eating competitions before. If you've ever watched the hot dog national, I think it used to be the Nathan's National Hot Dog Eating Contest, where they take the hot dogs and the buns and they're like dipping them in water and they're stuffing them in as fast as they can, and they eat like 69 hot dogs in 10 minutes or whatever it is. Like, it's just, it's crazy. I have no idea how they do it, but they train for this. How do you train for that? You got to be making a lot of hot dogs if you're training for something like that. But that's what our world says. It's okay just to gorge yourself on things. The Bible talks about simplicity, that we should live in simplicity. But instead, we want other people's things. We see our neighbor and say, well, they got a new car. Maybe I should get a new car. Or, wow, I really like this, or I want that. Or we crave, we desire these other things. Spending time in solitude or silence. The world says never be disconnected. We'll sell you a phone. We'll sell you a device that will make sure that you never miss a call, never miss a text. Always can get online. Always can be connected. Always can listen to music. Can watch your videos wherever, whenever you want. The Bible says we should be serving others, but the world says you just should serve yourself. Burger King years ago had a slogan, I think they still do, have it your way. Why? Because it's all about you. It's all about what I want. It's all about how I want my sandwich made. As Christians, we're called to worship God. The worldly culture says you can worship anything but God. As Christians, we're supposed to give, as Jack was talking about giving to others today. What's the problem? Many people are walking around today with their glasses full, and they just want more. They just want to take from others. What can you give to me? How can you do something for me? instead of, how can I do something for you? They want to take rather than give. But if any of you are like me, you think through that list, Christian disciplines, praying, reading the Bible, fasting, simplicity, solitude, serving others, worshiping God, giving back, and you go, how do I do all those? That's a long list. I don't have time for that. That's an excuse I use quite a bit in my head. I don't have time for that. I've told you some of my stories where God asked me to do something for another person, and that's usually my first response. But God, I don't have time. I can't do that right now. But through this series, I hope we take on and develop the attitude of Martin Luther. Martin Luther has this famous quote. He said, I have so much to do in a day that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I have so much to do in a day that I need to set aside this time first to pray, because that is the work before I get to doing the rest of the stuff that I have to get done. In your Bibles, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 is where we'll be at. And just to kind of give you an idea, a lot of you know the story of Daniel, but Daniel, along with his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were taken by Nebuchadnezzar. They were taken out of their homeland and brought to Babylon. Daniel, as he is able to interpret dreams and do things, he begins to be promoted in the land, and he lasts there for through even other kingdoms. Other nations come in and wipe out Nebuchadnezzar and them. And so Daniel, we find that he lasts through all of these kingdom transitions and all these rulers and what's going on. And we come to chapter 6, and actually one of the transitions has just happened. Back in chapter 5, verse 31, it says, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom being about 62 years old. And so the Medes had just come in and conquered and taken over the land. And Darius begins to put people in place. And he sees, well, there's already some people that are over some different places. So I'm going to put Daniel and several guys as leaders over these cities. And as Darius observes Daniel, he sees that Daniel is doing some great things. Daniel is above all the rest, and so he says, I'm going to put Daniel in charge of everything. Well, the ones who were Daniel's co-workers, same level, they didn't like that idea. They didn't like that Daniel was going to be promoted over them, and so they start trying to figure out, well, what can we do to get rid of this guy Daniel? What can we do to wipe him out? But they couldn't find any fault in Daniel, the Bible says. So they said, well, we're going to have to make up something. So they come before Darius and they have him sign this decree that if anybody worships anybody but Darius, they'd be thrown in the lion's den. All of you remember the story of the lion's den, right? This is what kind of leads up to that story. And so Darius signs this letter, this note, and making it a law. Then we come to this verse in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. I'd like us to notice several things about Daniel. The first is Daniel's discipline didn't waver under pressure. Daniel's discipline didn't waver under pressure. Daniel knew, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house. He knew the document had been signed. He knew what the cost was going to be. Darius had signed this law that said that anybody who worshipped anybody besides Darius was going to get thrown into the lion's den. Lions aren't usually that nice. You don't really want to be thrown into a lion's den. We went to the zoo a few weeks ago up in South Bend, and there was a lion there, and he just decided he was going to roar. And they don't always do that. They're not always awake when you're there, but he just decided he was going to roar. And then he's, I don't know what upset him. But it's scary. they're big animals. I was standing there, and he was like, his head was like here. If he'd wanted to take me out, he could take me out. It's a big animal. This isn't just one lion. This was a whole den of lions, and you can't get out of it. So Daniel knew what he was facing, but his discipline did not waver under pressure. Not only was Daniel's discipline not going to waver, but his discipline was organized. He had a place, he had a plan, and he had a practice. It was organized 3 times a day. He did this. The place, he went to the upper chamber where it says the windows faced Jerusalem. And that would be a common practice for those who were taken in exile, that they would pray towards Jerusalem, towards the holy city. He had a plan. He didn't just get up to his upper room and go, okay, now what do I do? I'm supposed to be doing something about prayer. Maybe I should pray. I don't know how to go about this. No, he had a plan. He got down on his knees and he prayed 3 times a day, the Bible tells us. Not only that, but it was a practice thing. He prayed and gave thanks. He knew that he was going to pray and give thanks to God for what he had done. Daniel's discipline was organized. Not only was it organized, it was regular. It was regular. The Bible says there, he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done. What's it say? As he had done previously. It was a regular thing. He wasn't just praying because Darius had now signed this thing. Daniel went 3 times a day and prayed to God. That was his regular thing. That was his regular schedule. He'd done this previously. This wasn't the first time that Daniel had prayed. Not only that, Daniel's discipline had results. Drop down to verse 22. Darius comes, you know the story. He's thrown into the lion's den. There's a stone that's brought and laid on top of the mouth of the den so he can't get out. The king seals it. The king actually spends the night fasting because he's worried about what's going to happen to Daniel. But in verse 22, the king comes and he says, Daniel, are you okay? Verse 22, Daniel says, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths. And they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Daniel says, my God found me blameless. As a result of that, the lion's mouths were closed. What happens with the rest of the story? Do you remember? The men that had Darius sign this decree, they were thrown into the lion's den. And the Bible says that God opened the mouth of the lions. It's a nice way of saying that they didn't make it. And so we see God's power over his creation. But I believe it was partly because of who Daniel was, the discipline he had in his life to pray. And that's the importance of the disciplines that we need to have in our lives. Daniel gives us an example of what being disciplined to prayer looks like in the Old Testament. He helps us see the importance of having disciplines and having them started long before we're faced with trials, long before we're persecuted, long before these things come at us. We're developing these roots that are growing down so when the wind blows, when the rain comes, when the tornado hits, we've grown some roots. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of storms. We had several storms that would go through Battle Creek area when we lived up there. And there was one that was either a really strong wind or a tornado. And there were trees that made it and there were trees that didn't. The trees that didn't, when they blew over, it wasn't like they were snapped in half. The roots were just on the surface. They hadn't grown deep into the ground. The other trees are just fine, because they had roots that went deep down into the ground and allowed them to stay upright when the storms of this world, when the storms of this earth came and hit them. Disciplines bring about character in our lives. They make us available to God, and they put us in a place where we are willing to allow God to work in and through us and change us. Quick warning before we close. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 says this, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I don't think Daniel was going into this upper room with the windows open to do it just to say, nah, 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 nah. Look at me, I'm doing this. He had been previously doing this. This was his practice. But Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Don't do it for other people. Don't do it so you can be seen and say, wow, look at how good of a Christian I am. I prayed 4 times today. I've been fasting for 3 weeks. Look at me, I spent a day in solitude. Or look at me, I'm living a simplistic life. That's not what we're supposed to be doing, is telling other people. The Bible says you need to be cautious. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Don't be doing it to be seen by people. Be doing it to get closer to God. Be doing it to build your relationship with Him. David writes this in Psalm 51, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise this. David writes this in the midst of his sin with Bathsheba and being found out, and he writes this and he says, you're not going to delight in sacrifice. You're not going to delight in a burnt offering, but what pleases God? A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Spiritual disciplines get us to that place where we can have a broken spirit, where we can live our lives with the cup half full and not live our lives in such a way where we're just always taking in and never giving back. But living our lives with a broken and contrite heart. The disciplines don't earn us anything. I'm not telling you you're going to become more spiritual if you just do these, if you just buy these 5 steps today for just $19.99, you will be the best Christian ever. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying there are things that the Bible tells us that were practices of Jesus himself, who we're supposed to be emulating, who we're supposed to be following, who we're supposed to be walking after, that put us in a place where God can work in our lives and he can cause us to grow. What happens when we're not doing those things? Well, the growth is very slow. But the more we put ourselves into these places, the more we're into his word, the more we're praying to him, we begin to understand more about him. We begin to understand how we're supposed to walk, how we're supposed to follow, the things we're supposed to be doing. And that's what the spiritual disciplines are all about. They're to help us to become more like him, but they just put us in a place where we're ready for him to grow us. The disciplines help put us in a place to draw us closer to God and become more like Jesus Christ. They put us in that place. They don't get us there, but they put us in a place where God can work in our lives to grow us. Would you pray with me? Father, God, as we're beginning to go through this series, this rooted series, God, help us as we come to your word. Help us as we come to each of these practices. And God, may your calling, may your leading be in each of these. Help us to know how to study your word. Help us to know how to pray. Help us to know when to fast or when we need to spend time just with you and not with the worldly noise around us. God, give us direction as we begin this walk, as we take this next step. Help us to follow you. God, may all we do bring you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me and sing as we close? Eyes upon God.